You have ended your fast.
Yes, I have.
You were off for 4 months, is it?
Yeah, something like that. Twitter has come back into my life after the longest break from it that I've ever taken. One that I was thinking could be a permanent break, but here I am back on the social network, as are you.
I, too, considered my break with Twitter permanent, and I took the permanent step of deleting my account altogether, and I was off for like 2 years, so I really didn't think I was coming back
right
until I suddenly was. And now I regret deleting my account, and I regret it for stupid reasons, mostly just having to do with vanity numbers, which, as we talked about with Manton Reese when he was on the show, are hardly a necessary element of social media and definitely contribute to a lot of the bad incentives and bad behavior, you know, when it becomes just about currying influence by whatever means. But people still take people seriously on Twitter in proportion to their follower account. And mine was a lot higher before, and I had to start over from zero. And I regret that because I don't think I should ever have decided to permanently leave something that the public is engaged with. Taking a break is one thing, but like quitting to make a point that no one's going to listen to, like I've started to feel silly about that behavior, and I regret it for personal, professional, strategic reasons, but also just regret it for how silly it looked. Or, you know, and then that's a projection, but like it feels like it was a silly thing to do. And like now I feel silly starting over again and building it up from zero, having been on the platform for so long. Your decision was based on a book that was an argument for deleting accounts. And so I want to hear a little more about the idea of permanently leaving Twitter as it formed for you as you were considering those arguments and then how it fell apart.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty easy answer from my perspective, which is that the argument that really compelled me was that actively participating in these networks is perpetuating them into the next lifetime beyond ours. And if we want the world to get better, then not participating in them is the only way to actually give a new network or something that could come next a fighting chance. And I liked that, and I thought, wow, that is a very compelling argument. I'm not having a good time on this network. I don't feel like it's a good use of my day. So it's kind of a win-win here for me to get off of it. The problem is there are two reasons that I'm on it. One, to like gather data because I'm an input-oriented person. And two, to talk with people because I'm a community-oriented person. And I could do without the former, but it was harder than I wished to do without the latter. And I missed it. I missed that part of Twitter. And I knew from the beginning that my active, that me no longer actively participating wasn't going to shut Twitter down, you know.
Maybe that was the delusion that I failed to rid myself of.
Right. I never deleted my account or publicly wrote some post about why I was leaving it and did a call to action for other people to leave it too.
I did that.
And that's fine. I just didn't have that in me. And I just tweeted, oh, this book convinced me, goodbye, and left it at that. And I didn't try to get anyone to come off the network with me or any of those things. I was happy to leave it for a while. And part of the reason is because these networks are so addictive, and it was good for me to stop looking at this thing every day in a way that felt like I could no longer stop looking at it. To, you know, delete Twitter from my phone was good. But at the same time, there is no other alternative here. As much as I wish one would exist in the world today, the way that you communicate with people and tell stories that have impact is through these social networks. And because of that, I feel compelled to be there. This is more of a side note that I haven't like fully figured out, but I actually met a guy who does some really incredible nonprofit and humanitarian work all around the world. He's Puerto Rican and was living in North Carolina for years and years and years. And once the hurricane hit in Puerto Rico, he felt compelled to sell his house and his entire family and him move to Puerto Rico to do relief work. And he and I met. He had this kind of speaking engagement in Sacramento, and I drove down. And he was telling this group of people who had desires to do humanitarian work and good things in the world, if you're not on social media, you're dumb, because that's where you're going to find people who are interested in the same things that you are. And that's how you're going to find people to get invested in the stories that you're trying to tell, not necessarily looking at it from like a profit perspective of that's where the donors are, because that conversation gets much more complicated. But just simply saying, this is the public forum of today, and if you want to do something, you must be on the public forums. And I know that for Coffee Bar, the coffee shop that I'm running, that has been on Instagram, and I have been on its Instagram the entire time. I know that that coffee shop, a brick and mortar space, cannot really exist without being on the social network. And so that guy's conversation made me start wondering if it was a waste for me to not be on social networks myself, telling the stories that are compelling and interesting to me. And it sort of felt like it was. So here I am, back again.
You did think maybe off and on, I might never use Twitter again, but never did you consider deleting your data? Like, it wasn't like, I'm taking my data and my statistics about being on Twitter away from Twitter, the corporation, forever.
No, that
never really entered into it for you.
No, I'm far too much of a data hoarder to ever want to do something like that. And I know that I could like pull it off and keep it for myself, but
right. No, I have that too, but that is not the same thing.
No. And like, I know people do the thing where they like delete their tweets once a month or something. And I'm like, yeah. I would never, ever, ever do that. So there was never a time where my finger was hovering over the delete account button. I would just stop using it, and then it would exist there, which is sort of how it is for a lot of things online for me. You know, as time has come and gone and platforms have risen and fallen, I have never deleted anything. I like the fact that there's this kind of detritus of my creative work or social networks that has lasted as long as it possibly can and will continue to last until someone stops paying the bills on, you know, Tumblr or Flickr or whatever else it is, you know. I'm not actively trying to preserve it. Didn't Flickr just have some big thing where they took down like tons of photos because the ownership had changed?
Yeah. I think what that was people, they made it mandatory to have a paid account.
Yeah.
And people who had like thousands and thousands of photos from back in the day who didn't pay up got their photos taken down.
That may have happened to me. Mm-hmm. And I had no interest in going and paying for it or trying to back it up or whatever. It was there, and if it's no longer there, it's no longer there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not the guy that's going to do the deleting, is what I mean by that.
I have both impulses, I think, because I definitely want a complete record to be there, but I do curate the record very carefully. Like, when I've taken down blogs in the past that I've started and decided never like to roll up and not do anymore, I've like laboriously migrated blog posts. It's all funneled eventually into my personal domain. Like, several different blogs have all been combined actually into two separate blog feeds, but both of them on one domain. And the posts are still there. The links in various really old places might be broken in some cases, but the content is there. And I've cared a lot about that for stuff that I've owned. And likewise, on Facebook, as much as I've turned off on both the network itself, like participation in the Facebook network, although I'm starting to have second thoughts again, we'll probably talk about that today. And of course, as much as I've soured on the company itself, I've never been able to bring myself to delete my Facebook account, although my finger has hovered over the button several times, because of what it would destroy as far as connections to people and like photo albums that other people posted that have photos that I care about in them and stuff like that. Like, losing access to those is too much to bear. But I did reach a point with Twitter stuff where it mattered so little to me. I valued it so low that I could convince myself to push the button. I did download my archive. Like I said, I have the tweets. But it turns out that that's not the stuff that matters to me anymore. Like, I doubt I'll ever look at that archive of tweets. What I destroyed and I regret destroying is connections. And I do wish there was a record of that, you know, like they're like DM conversations from a really long time ago, you know, right. It's like, even if I never talk to that person again, like having those or, and, you know, being able to strike up that conversation again, that would matter. Like, I definitely regret this. Now I've decided, I think that for reasons much like your friend that you just laid out, that your friend was saying that like, that this is where people are, like, you know, if you want to do things with people, like you have to be there. I have kind of come back around. I guess maybe for a while I thought that I didn't have to do stuff with people anymore, like people other than like the ones in my physical surroundings. And whether that's ultimately untrue or just like becoming untrue again for a while I do a particular thing for a paycheck, you know, I've decided to like be back out there as an internet person again. So we do have to figure out, you and me both, as longtime Twitter users to whom that place and its community mattered so much at one time. We both soured on it and we have to figure out now like how to make it work for us again. And I think what to share is a part of it. Who to follow is a part of it. And how to portray ourselves is also a part of it. And as I said, I'm starting to feel like my Facebook presence might also be subject to this sort of same demand, like the need to be there because that's where people are, like might be starting to kick in there as well. But for Twitter in particular, I think it's the murkiest. Like Facebook has always been, I think, fairly clear about who you're supposed to be on there, how you're supposed to participate. And like that period of time where people thought Facebook was like a media platform and like a sort of another Twitter where you do public stuff about your job or whatever.
Right.
I think that was an aberration that Facebook may have contributed to in its product decisions, but they did so accidentally. And they've definitely come back around to like, this is a thing for friends. And we use the word friends for a reason. But Twitter, you know, as we've talked about many times, has this tension between being your private self and being your public self, and between communicating and networking, between having conversations and publishing. And it's a very difficult thing to thread for me.
To back up really quick, I want to say that all of these questions really are rooted in the fact that, you know, the show is called Internet Friends, and I feel like you and I are both internet people. You use that term. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, yes, that is correct. And I am somebody who loves being on the internet and finding people to talk with on the internet and creating internet friends. So it feels ridiculous to remove myself from these communities. And that's why I feel like I'm back, is to try this again and do it well. And for me, one of the ways that I know I have to change my behavior is that I know that for me personally, and I would think for many people, it is not good to be a passive browser of these networks. I don't like the fact that as time went on, I was becoming less and less a contributor in conversations and more just a viewer, because these networks are made to take up your time and keep you scrolling. And I don't like feeling the desire to scroll forever without ever contributing. And this is different for every network, and I think it's different for every person. I have no interest in ever being on Facebook because I don't really know anybody in my life who uses Facebook. I don't really do life in a way that requires me to use Facebook. And you're right, it's not a place for anyone to contribute like thought. Mm-hmm. It's more contributing events and social gatherings and that type of thing, which for me, everyone in my life uses Instagram for that. So why would I be on that network? Twitter, I need to figure out what it is for me in the same way that I'm trying to figure that out for Instagram. And removing myself from Twitter and basically making Instagram my predominant social network for the last 4 months was helpful because it helped me understand the difference between the two networks and what they exist to do in my life in a positive way. Do you remember when everyone was like just basically blasting everything they did to every network? You know, when there was like post to Facebook from Twitter and post to Twitter from Instagram and, you know, all of these little web recipes that you could do?
Yeah, there were third party ones for ones that didn't have integrations.
Yeah.
And it seemed like every single service felt the need to build in integrations to post to multiple places at once.
And Instagram, of course, still has that because it's bought by Facebook. So you can very easily share to Facebook from Instagram. But I feel like that idea of social networks and platforms is long gone. And people understand that you aren't supposed to try to be on all of them through one of them. That's awful. And no one will actually care. And you're just making a lot of clutter. But I don't think that I mentally made that shift of recognizing the use of each of the platforms specifically until I removed them all from my life, save for one, Instagram, and then realized what was missing now that I was using Instagram, quote unquote, correctly, you know, correctly for me. Mm-hmm. And I guess the question that I have now that I'm still kind of wrestling with is the thing that I feel like Twitter makes hard on users is the fact that it really kind of pushes you into a corner of your life. It asks you to follow people in a hobby that you care about or a sphere of the world that you care about. And that's kind of it. You know, if I want to be somebody who cares about the world of Apple, but also the world of Christianity, man, is it hard to be active in both of those communities without annoying both of them mm-hmm. by your posts about one or the other. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you have been struggling with that as well.
I've always struggled with that. For years and years before I deleted my accounts, I struggled with that.
Yeah, and I did too. But the way that I struggled with it before was just not caring about it and being specifically in one sphere and very rarely like going into another.
Yeah.
But I'm not okay with that now. I want to be a whole person that has more than one thing that I like in my life and want to share about. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to talk about the things that I talk about without worrying if 90% of the people that I'm talking with won't care, which means creating and cultivating a group of people who actually care about multiple things that I care about. And if they don't care about them, they care about me enough to engage me in those conversations. And I think that the desire is to go and follow 100 people that like hobby A, 100 people that like hobby B, and so on and so forth, and just hope that you'll talk with them one-on-one. And I'm recognizing that that's awful and not something that I'm interested in doing, nor does it seem really workable for my position.
Hi, internet friends. It's John here. Internet Friends is brought to you by my work at Ablaze Interactions, where I solve communication problems for clients who work to repair our world. I can help with information architecture to transform your website, content strategy to tell the right story and reach the right audience, and writing and editing to find the authentic voice of your company or organization, your product, or your idea. Ablaze Interactions has consulted for world-renowned events, political candidates, law firms, nonprofits, and great apps on the App Store. Light up your ideas. Go to ablaze.co and let me know if you're interested in working together. The one feature that Twitter doesn't have that would solve this problem is selective publishing based on topics. Like if hashtags were not just spam added to your normal tweets, but were actually filters for your content that people could unfollow and like browse on your profile to see what you tweet about, we wouldn't have this problem, right? The problem of being able to broadcast whatever you want without annoying people.
Yeah, and you've used multiple accounts before to try to get around that.
That's the only solution that I've ever come up with. And the thing that was really unfortunate was, you know, I started using my Twitter account in 2009 and quickly found that technology itself was the topic I was most interested in, which was fortunate because at the time, that's what like 75% of Twitter was about. And that's how I got into the situation where I was writing publicly about technology. So it made perfect sense for me to tweet about that all the time. And I built up thousands of followers that way. And then I got tired of that scene. I quit that job. I was enigmatic on Twitter for a while, and then Burning Man hired me. And so what made sense to do then was change my profile to be about Burning Man. And 90% of the people who followed me for technology had no interest in Burning Man. And it was a real dilemma. And I ended up tearing off a separate account that was like, this is my technology account and this is my Burning Man account. And at some point I even did it again and was like, this is my me account and this is my tech account and this is my Burning Man account. And it became completely unwieldy and stupid. And I think that a lot of that frustration had to do with why deleting the account seemed like the right thing to do. And then when I came back this year, I did so with sort of vague ambitions that I only alluded to on the show vaguely, and now I don't even know what the status of them is, to kind of rebuild a profile for myself online publicly in a particular aspect of my life. And then I started following and subscribing to and tweeting about only that one aspect, which is sort of the Jewish media world and religious issues. And then quickly found myself, first of all, really bored by the input that I was getting from that scene.
Right.
Really unable to contribute to the output in a way that moved the needle. Like mostly what I found myself expressing was frustration, which is never good, never a good sign on Twitter. And then technology started creeping back in because I kept wanting to follow the people I was following before, because I was using another Twitter account that sort of said, I am a bot and all I exist for is reading, to follow all the tech stuff and mostly Apple related stuff that I was following before. So I was reading about that stuff and I wanted to write back. I wanted to participate in that too. So this became like a very strange conflict, just like you're describing. Like I didn't know what which one to be doing at any given time. I did create lists for both from the very beginning of having this new account, so I can just get a feed of one or the other, but that doesn't solve the problem. That's the reverse of the thing I'm describing. Like what I want is posting lists, not following lists. And then at work at this new job at Inside Apple, the executive team started pushing having Twitter accounts for our newsletters, which I was hesitant to do for a second because I thought I wanted to accumulate followers to my personal account as an Apple thing. But then I remembered that like, you know, I have 70 followers right now, but like of a lot of those followers, many of them are people who know me personally and who probably aren't interested in me tweeting about Apple all the time again. So I went for it and I started building up that account. And a fair number of people have followed both, which is great. I think that's ideal. What I've started doing is instead of tweeting about the newsletter from my own account, I tweet it from that account and I retweet it into my timeline. So people can see this very heavily branded Inside Apple account and they can follow that if they want. And I will only put a couple things, maybe one a day, from that feed into my personal feed. And on that Inside Apple feed, if I want to really nerd out, I feel comfortable doing that there because everybody knows why they're following that account. So I have ended up with a solution that feels like it's working for now, which is there's me and my bio begins with a personal thing. And then I've added some work stuff to it also, including history, which is the thing we should talk about, you know, like the way that past internet accomplishments figure into people's Twitter profiles. But I'm tweeting about whatever I want. And I'm making clear that there's this Apple stuff going on over here. And if you want to follow over there, great. But I think I've landed on a comfortable posture for a personal account where it's like a greatest hits of everything. And the feed, the incoming stuff, I don't think there's any way to do that other than just make it the stuff you want to see every time you go online. And like maybe use lists and search the way that you use it for like intentional diving into particular things. But like following people on Twitter should be like a very, very high level of interest kind of at all times. And I don't think there's any other way to do it. But it feels like it's working out now. And I'm really glad you're back because the thing I actually really want to dig into from what you said is the idea of like finding the 100 people who are into something and like having to mix that with the 100 people who are into something else doesn't really work. But like maybe there is this intersection of 50 people who have at least two intersecting interests. It's not just one thing that they share, but it's actually two things they share. And the intersection's what's interesting. Like that sounds to me like enough to make an internet friend out of someone. Like if you're into Apple and religion, for example, like we got a lot to talk about already. And that still feels like a kind of Twitter that is possible. And, you know, it may be difficult to avoid trolls and nonsense entirely.
Exactly.
But if that's the goal, rather than thousands of followers, like, you know, the goal for me used to be being able to tweet any question and get answers from humans, you know, like free labor, like based on attention. Like, where should I get sushi in New York City tonight? You know, like that's like the powerful influencer version of social media. But now it's like, have six people who I can feel comfortable talking to about stuff as we're like online reading. And if that's the goal, I'm going to use it really differently.
That's a great point. And I think for me, the goal used to be, how can I navigate today without seeing anything that's horribly negative and sad?
Yeah, that's my goal as well.
Now it is and it isn't, though, in the sense that I feel like, you know, in a negative sense, maybe the goalpost has just moved, right? And it's just like, oh, well, we're never going to get there again. Yeah. Like, that's the negative perspective of looking at it. The positive version of it, though, to me, is that just isn't how the world works, you know? Like, there's no way that I'm going to live a normal life where I have people in my life, a normal life where I have people around me, that I'm not going to be exposed to negativity. And there's a guy I love on Twitter named Matt Thomas, and yesterday he posted something like, Twitter is great because it exposes you to the stupidest people of all time and the smartest people of all time, and it's your job to sort it all out. And I agree with that sentiment, but I also feel like that just sort of describes the human experience. Hmm. I'm getting less and less annoyed with Twitter for providing me the human experience. It's what we all are surrounded by at all times. And yes, there are things that they do. There are things that they could do to make it better, and there are things that they do that make it worse. I'm looking at you, the For You tab that is like constantly pulling out the worst things of all time and like showing it to me gleefully. Like, that sucks. I'm going to try to spend as little time on that tab as possible. But what I'm realizing is that for me to have a good time on Twitter, in any social network, to be honest, I am now less concerned about what it's providing for me to like look at and consume, and more about what it's providing me to engage with, mm-hmm. and like actually have conversations surrounding. And I posted that I was back after being gone for a while, and like 24 people liked it or responded to it or asked me what's up. And that's 24 people that I wasn't talking with, that I wasn't communicating with, that I wasn't sharing my life with. Mm-hmm. And I've said before that in an ideal world for me, Path would have won. Yeah. And we would have these like micro networks as opposed to these huge platforms. But I just am realizing that since that didn't happen, the result is I would just rather make my own Path-like community and not be worried about getting something, posting something for the entire follower list that I have that probably isn't even looking at what I'm saying, but instead creating and talking with and communicating around ideas that are interesting to the couple of dozen people that are actually on the same page as me from the start. Mm-hmm. And they're on Twitter. So I'm on Twitter too. And I know that I could have had a blog or something and asked them all to come there, but I am just of the mind that that's not how the world works these days. And as someone who doesn't use RSS myself, I don't think that I'm going to convince the people that are like me mm-hmm. to use the things that I'm not using.
Yeah, I'm getting really concerned about that. Like, I am using RSS very heavily in addition to Twitter, and I need both, and they don't feel redundant with each other. But I know no one else is.
Right.
And I know that no one reads things I publish on my blog unless I tweet them and share them on Facebook and email them in my newsletter.
Right.
And I'm okay with that because I still have, you know, I still get the benefit of like owning my domain and posting things in a place where they won't go away and knowing the canonical version of it is the one that is quote unquote mine. But I no longer believe that the cold start problem for new ways of hanging out online can be overcome. I learned that terminology from a friend's company a long time ago who were trying to build a network around a very particular way of behaving online, of annotating documents online and like making kind of a scholastic community of readers that add to the margins of the web things like fact-checking and additional sourcing and, you know, contradictory sourcing. And it was, you know, very interesting but very academic thing. And they had this problem that I'm sure they got from they got the vocabulary from somewhere else, of the cold start problem, which is like, okay, here's the tool, now go. You know, like, how do you get people to actually start using the thing and generate energy that then becomes dynamic enough to have a community around it? And those shifts, I mean, I don't even really remember what it feels like when one of those shifts happens, because I don't think one has happened for a really long time. This is, I think, a very crucial part of this conversation about, like, well, that's, they're on Twitter, so I've got to be there, or they're on Facebook, and you know, and I still feel unresolved about that Facebook one, but like Twitter and Instagram, like that's where the people are in my life. So asking them to come be on micro.blog, like, they're not listening. They just aren't.
Right.
And that makes me not want to use another thing, because like, why add another thing when the people are over on one? I think a very crucial part of discussing this problem is recognizing that the landscape has kind of settled. I mean, I was covering daily tech news at a time when people still thought new social networks would appear that would suck everyone in. And I guess Instagram was the last one that did that, but that was so long ago, and it got bought by Facebook right away, effectively. So, you know, it no longer really counts to me as a new network. It's just a new set of tools, and people still use, like, remember MySpace when writing about Facebook, you know, as though that's going to happen to Facebook. Someday, Facebook is going to get MySpaced, which is patently absurd to me, because like, MySpace was a company that didn't get how technology changes and how to maneuver a social media product into those changes, and Facebook does. So, you know, the end. Like, I think that's something that smart people in Silicon Valley have realized, that the rest of us all need to realize, is, it's not just like a vibe that gets people to move social networks. It's a new way of life. And I don't mean that in a metaphorical, like, technology sense. I mean that in the sense that, like, a new behavior that really fits into the way people live needs to emerge in order to change social dynamics in such a way that, like, MySpace doesn't make sense anymore.
Right.
And Facebook has found a way to insinuate itself into the way people live digitally and physically increasingly in such a pervasive way that, like, there is no opportunity. Like, Snapchat is not real. TikTok is not real. Like, these things are not going to survive. There's no way that those things are going to survive. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, I know young blah blah young people, but like, young people use Instagram too. Instagram is copying the features of all of these things. Messenger is copying the features of all these things. Like, the die is cast. So, you know, however the companies and products shake out, like, if the way of life itself is not figured out, the way of figuring out the next way of life is figured out. And I really don't think the players are going to change very much, barring massive changes to the regulatory landscape, the legal landscape for, like, how these businesses can continue to exist. And, you know, hard to say what's going to happen there. But given that, you know, I don't think that jumping in on some new thing as though it's going to fix the problems makes any sense. I really think that lobbying for change, for external change, and, you know, intelligent and mindful, intentional usage of what's there to make internal change is the only way forward for, like, being online with other people. I feel kind of resigned in saying that, but how much of the misery of using these tools that have been decided for us are we inflicting on ourselves? That's something that I think we need to examine. We've both used the word addicted to describe the way that we relate to Twitter. I would certainly have used that to describe the way I related to Facebook as well. And, like, all my struggles and contortions with whether or not to be on Facebook, to me, that feels much more literally like trying to stay sober after an addiction. Whereas, you know, I don't know with Twitter, but, like, maybe I just shouldn't touch the stuff is what I mean. Because maybe there's no way for me to fit like that level of kind of obsessive passive grazing on the status indicators of the lives of people I know. There's no way for me to fit that into my life in a healthy way. But Twitter feels like it has far lower stakes than that for me. And all the misery that I felt on Twitter, like, I'm not sure that that was anybody's fault but mine. And like, I feel like I have it under control. I do think my screen time on Twitter is kind of alarmingly high now that I have a measure of that. But I think I can imagine ways of fixing that.
Hello, internet friends. It's Drew, and I want to tell you about Keyhouse. There's a quote from Kurt Vonnegut that I read, tucked away in an essay he wrote about the seasons, where he said that he thought that the idea of four seasons was a lie. Instead, we should have six. Fall doesn't move to winter, and winter doesn't move to spring. Instead, he thought the season should be like so. Summer, fall, locking, winter, unlocking, and spring. I believe there's a beautiful poetry to the idea that creation itself requires a time of unlocking before anything of substance can bloom. And perhaps you're listening to this message right now, stuck between what you're doing and what you want to do for the rest of your life, realizing that you might be in that cruel season of unlocking too. Find your own space for unlocking. Go to Keyhouse, KEYHOU.SE, and let's find the key.
Twitter was not good for me the last year of my life, in that I had less going on than I had in a while. And so it was easier for me to just spend time on a screen doing nothing and just consuming. And I mean, oh man, we've talked about all this, but I just, all of the words that are around social networks and media right now, I hate so much. I hate consuming. I hate the feed. I hate content. These are all like such gross words that just feel like, you know, you're at like at a trough. But like, it reminds me that those words are describing the behavior of people who are addicted to it. And so now that I'm in a phase where like I'm doing a lot and I have lots of things in the physical world around me that are keeping me busy, I mean, I'm not even worried about it. I know that it doesn't feel good when I'm not doing things, and that this platform gives me a reason to spend my time looking at things but not doing things. So one, I need to live a life where I'm doing things that are off the platform. And two, if I'm on it, I want to be contributing. So it's even like a funny thing, and it sounds silly, but it's important to me. I've been using Streaks lately, the app that lets you count how many days in a row you managed to do something. And I've been using it mostly for like mindfulness and fitness stuff. How many days in a row can I go spending 10 mindful minutes? How many days in a row can I do 30 minutes of a workout at a gym? That kind of thing. But I was actually thinking about creating one in Streaks that was sort of like a, what are you sharing today? Or like, have you contributed to a conversation today? Or something like that. Just to see if I fall back into the pattern of not contributing, but instead just reading. Because if I go back to having this sort of ghost account where I'm just looking and browsing and looking into other people's lives, but not sharing what's happening in mine, or not even like talking to them about what's happening in theirs, I know that personally, I'm not interested. And I know that is true for both Instagram and for Twitter. I don't want to just be browsing my friends' lives in their Instagram stories without sharing what's happening in mine. And I don't want to be just reading about what people are doing in the world on Twitter without sharing what I'm doing. And I think that I need to get a handle on how to do both of those things to make the platforms feel better for me. And then once I've done that and feel good about what I'm creating, I want to create these communities that are centered around the stuff that I care about and that they care about, where we get to actually communicate and deepen our relationships. Because I also have no interest in just tweeting and posting to the void. You know, I don't want to be posting stuff and just sending it out into the ether and realizing that no one cares or no one's looking at it. And that doesn't work for me. I'm not on these social networks just to create and not have a conversation. Conversation and community are so valuable to me that I need it to actually feel happy with my time spent.
The idea that no one cares is really hard for me to wrestle with. And I think a lot of my desire to get away from the internet at times has been about that. And I don't know how much of it is me not wanting to face the idea that, like, maybe I should try posting about stuff that people will care more about, because I don't feel like that would feel inauthentic to me. I want to post about the stuff that I'm interested in. And if, like, no other people on earth are interested, like, oh, well, like, at least let my feed serve as a record of who I was. But it is not just that. It's all in service of making connections, like you're saying. And I like the idea, as you have laid it out, that there are prerequisites. There are sort of personal, ethical, and dispositional prerequisites to get to building that community. You put a bunch of things first about, like, making sure it's healthy before attempting to try and pull that group of people together. And maybe I need to learn from that, because getting to know the reason why I'm out there in the first place should probably help in my effort to continue to make connections this way. I think I did lose the taste for that kind of community for a while, though, too. Like, I think that I felt like I was privileging that to the exclusion of making it work with the people who are actually around me in a physical sense. And I don't really use the internet with those people. Like, that's kind of the thing that's been successful about getting off Facebook, is that, like, Facebook is actually not necessary in even my world, which was pretty Facebook centric, to keep up with what's going on in, like, my actual physical community, because people are compensating for it because they see me for other reasons. So they know, like, oh, he wasn't on Facebook, he didn't know about this. It only really serves to keep me connected to people who aren't physically here. That didn't seem like a necessary part of my life for a while. And I'm not really sure what's missing here in LA that's pulling me back out there, except in some very abstract sense, the opportunity to connect with more human beings, which obviously I also would have walking down the street here. So maybe there's something I just am not getting, but, like, tell me why building community online is so important to you.
It's important to me for the same reason that it's important to build it in real life, in the physical space that I'm in and the places that I'm a part of. It just is something that I care about deeply. I am an extrovert or something along those lines, and I don't like being alone. I like having conversations with people that care about the same things that I care about, and I would be very unhappy to spend all of my time and effort writing in private journals that I lock up and no one ever gets to see. I want to have conversations. That's why I love this show with you. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the greatest gifts that the internet has brought me, and why I feel like a quote unquote internet person, is because I thought to myself, oh, wow, now the amount of people that I can talk with, the amount of people that I can find, has been expanded so much further than my school or my neighborhood, which was so important to me when I was a kid. And the very first thing that we ever did on this show was talk about our origin stories. And it is telling to me that the thing that I did when I got the internet, besides steal movies, was find a web forum. And I don't think that's everybody's story, right? I don't think that everyone specifically sought out places of community online when they were able to get online. I think they played games and watched stuff, went to E-Bomb's World.
Sure.
And I was not interested in that. I wanted to be on a forum with other human beings talking about stuff. I know that's a priority of mine, and I'm not going to cut it out of my life for no reason. I shared a link with you recently. Oh, man, I don't remember the guy's name. Do you? That guy that's like that's completely off social networks?
His name is James Gowans, and his website is Gowans, GOWANS.CA. And here's his website. It's a white website with a little orange line down the left side of the paragraph, the three paragraphs of text he has on it. And it's this very cool, like, typewritery looking typeface. And he says, "Hi, I'm James Gowans. I'm a Vancouver-based hospitality technologist." What is a hospitality technologist? I like it, but I don't know what it is. Yeah. "I'm a Vancouver-based hospitality technologist, family man, writer, and self-imposed digital hermit. In 2016, I gave up on centralized social media." The phrase "gave up" links to gowans.ca/essays/bye. And the full title of that post is "Goodbye, Cruel World." It's just like him bailing out completely on social media. "In 2016, I gave up on centralized social media. Since then, I've opted out of RSS subscriptions, podcasts, and blogs. For better or worse, my last remaining connection to the digital world is email." The word "email" links to his email address. "I write a free weekly newsletter sent most Sunday mornings. Zero spam, one click on subscribe. You should definitely sign up." I just sympathize so much with that. Especially since I'm like fully email guy now.
The idea of being a hermit is like not at all appealing to me. And it's in the same way that I don't want to delete everything that I've done because I'd feel like I'm destroying history. I don't want to cut myself out of conversations and remove myself from the internet because I feel like I'm purposefully removing myself from one of the biggest resources in the world with very little benefit to me. And maybe that's slightly selfish. I mean, maybe that's what the person who wrote that book that convinced me to step away from Twitter would think, is like, we're all being selfish and using a position of privilege that we can be on it and not be negatively impacted by it too badly. Hmm. But at the same time, the idea of being an isolated hermit is just so, so very unappealing. And I know that the thing that I prioritize above all else is communication with others, is finding community with other people. And to cut myself off from the group of people who are on Twitter, even if it's a meager dozen, does not feel good to me. It does not feel interesting to me. And I have to find ways to use the tools of today to make my life better and find more people to connect with. And it is not at all surprising to me that you've continued your hot streak of landing every job you've had on Twitter.
Despite my best efforts.
But despite, yeah, you, a guy who has like deleted it, you know, has removed yourself entirely and come back only shortly, is still managing to utilize this network in these really incredible ways. And I don't think that is that shocking. It's where things are. It's where jobs are. You weren't going to get a letter in the mail inquiring if you'd be interested to have that job. You weren't even going to get an email.
From a random person. I wasn't going to get a letter from a random person saying, "Hey, there's a job here for somebody who wants to write about Apple for an hour a day." Like, that wasn't going to happen.
Exactly. And so because I'm an internet person and because you're an internet person, I think that we just have to use the tools that exist for us and we have to make our lives better while we do it. And you had, when I had mentioned to you in like a private text message conversation that I want to be back on Twitter, but be a whole person there. And that's so hard. You had said it's almost as if you need to create this new category of Twitter called what you called good faith Twitter. Mm-hmm. And like, that's what I want. I don't want to start some Discord channel where a dozen people are hanging out, or I don't want a discourse or a Slack. I want to be where everyone already is, and I just want to start communicating on a better level than a lot of people who just use it as a platform for complaints. And if you want to complain on Twitter, that's great. I'm just not really going to engage with you, and I'm probably not going to follow you. I want to be with the people who are looking for, I was going to say the positive, but I don't even care if you're being negative.
No, good faith is not the same thing as positive.
Yeah, be mad. Be, you know, engaged with things that are important to you, but let's do it in a way that feels meaningful and has forward momentum. And I'm going to figure out what that looks like for myself and put it into action. And I want to surround myself with others that are doing the same thing.
Yeah, it feels like it's time for us to change our show notes footer to put Twitter back in.
Right.
And, you know, I think that like there's plenty of people. I mean, we probably have gotten more replies on micro.blog than Twitter so far, but we haven't been trying that hard. And like, I know the people are out there. Like, I feel like we should make a good faith effort at trying to be out there again. You know, given all of this work we've done on figuring out how to have community online, like we have this conversation going now, and it's really going. It's been going for a year, and like, I want to bring more people in. Being a hermit does appeal to me, but I think it only appeals to me on a very base level. It almost appeals to me the same way that binge watching television shows appeals to me, as like a form of escapism. And it's just like easier that way for me, in a very low level sense, because I'm deeply introverted and it's exhausting to talk to people. But like, just because something is exhausting, I mean, arguably, like, it's like essential to human health to do things that are exhausting if they're also supportive in other ways. And you're right. Like, it's almost like out of my control that like good things keep flowing in when I participate online in good faith. I tweeted about it and used good faith Twitter as a hashtag that was like a surprisingly earnest kind of feel good, try hard thing I did on the internet, using a hashtag as not a sarcastic irony tag. I think I'm more able to commit to that now. I'm reading a book that I started at Passover in the Desert Festival that we just got back from, called Zen on the Trail. It's by Christopher Ives, and it's a wisdom publications book. It's like a Buddhism book, but it's about hiking as a spiritual practice, and it's this very American book. It's not Eastern Buddhism, if you will. It's like very much the perspective of somebody who relates to life and work and being and family the same way as I do. And he's really into etymology, which I am as well. And he begins by making very clear what he means by Zen and how Zen is a religion and what does he mean by religion. And he breaks down the word religion, which I can't believe I've never tried to do before. But there's two parts to religion. There's the re part, which I'd never thought about, which is meaning like to do it again, to repeat something. And the religion part is the same root as ligament, like in your body, connective tissue, like it means to connect. And so religion means to reconnect, not just to connect once and stay connected forever, but to reconnect. And the things that you do as part of religion, things that you do to mark the passage of time, to relate to everyday moments all day, like those are moments of reconnection. And that's what religion means. And the reason that human beings are moved to reconnect is because of how easy it is to disconnect, and how hard it is to disconnect. Like it's something that's almost forced upon us, and it feels terrible and it feels isolating. It takes energy to remain connected, and like to give up and disconnect is like what the tendency is. And you know, I'm not going to go so far as to say that there's like a religious imperative to be on the internet, to be an internet person. But in a very strict literal sense, being online is religious, because it's a good faith, or it should be a good faith effort to reconnect all the time. And I've had a really hard time doing that in the past 5 years or so, but that's not a reason to not try.